Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop and trust your intuition. Through the wonderful array of guests we have on the show and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition, the show that helps you connect with your intuitive nature. And I am Susan Jane, I'm your host for the show, and we have the lovely Michelle on today. Now, what I'm really going to enjoy with this one, because I'm going to ask them some pretty hard-hitting questions. I think I've said that before, and they probably weren't that hard-hitting, but they were interesting, because today it's all about how we're helping ourselves to help our children. And that's how I'm looking at it. And yes, I believe that parenting has changed a lot, but the basics are still there. The basic understanding is still there. The way my daughter parents her daughter, it was very different to the way I parent mine. And yet those core morals and those core values are still there. They're still really, really strong. She just does it in a different way, which is really, really, it's lovely to watch. Can be frustrating. Sometimes I just want to give her a bit of a whop on the bum, but I don't. And I respect how my daughter raises her children. Or my daughters raise their children, I should say, because I'm learning as well. And that's what today is all about. It's about how we can learn and take on some new understandings, take on some new ideas. And we have the expert for that, I can assure you. So welcome to the show, Michelle Henderson.
Hey, well, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited for this conversation.
Same here. I'm really like, because we are going to be looking at autism as well. And I know autism is what they call a spectrum. It's like a slide. So one can have a great deal of it and one can have just a touch of it. We've got everything in between. So I understand that. But I also want to get an understanding of what the connection is with autism and our spirituality and that intuitive side of us. But first of all, who is Michelle Henderson? Who are you? How did you get from wherever you were to where you are now?
And, you know, I laugh whenever people ask me that because I always say, you know, it helps to have a little bit ADHD as well, you know, to be able to do a lot of things that I've done. I've just kept moving and growing and learning so much. So I really feel like I need to start, you know, whenever I started finding out about being intuitive and also being an empath and feeling the energy around me and thinking that I was so different. And this happened when I was a child. And I became so shy because I'm thinking, I can feel all these emotions. I can feel all this energy. I don't know what's going on. And sometimes I would know something before it would happen. And then my spiritual awakening happened whenever I was 21 and spirit was like, hello, we are here. So I got visited a lot and, you know, I didn't really understand it. My parents never talked about it. I grew up in a very conservative home. So, you know, they did the best that they could, but they didn't really understand it either. And so I thought, oh my goodness, I don't know what's happening. I think I'm either going crazy or there's something spiritual going on. So I actually went to my minister and she said, you know what, if you don't like what's happening right now in the spiritual realm, you can tell them to go away until you're ready. And she was so right. I felt like I needed to be in control of what was happening and I just didn't know how. So I went to a psychic medium and she helped me through the steps of learning how to control what was going on. And then I understood, you know, it's nothing to be afraid of. So as an educator, what I decided to do when I was raising my children, I thought, you know what, spirit, I do want to work with you, but to help children that I work with and the parents that I work with. And so what I did is I really tuned in helping the situation. And I was a school teacher. I could feel whenever the parents got angry, and I could send them love energy back so that I could help them, you know, really think straight, you know, because when you get emotional, you're not really thinking. And then I started as a educational diagnostician. I started working with children with autism, and went to an intervention school that taught you different methods. And that's where I found where you can use the drama techniques to help autism children with social skills. They learn about their emotions. They know how to do that emotional regulation. They know how to control all that. And I worked with a lot of kiddos that I knew that they were very spiritual. I could just feel the energy around them. And a lot of times I could communicate with them without saying words. It was almost like an energy exchange. And then right before COVID happened, I decided to go ahead and go full time as a spiritual advisor. I started taking classes through Lisa Williams programs. And we were together, I mean, for 9 months, and there were 30 of us in there. And I learned so much. I found out there are so many people like me. I found my group. And everybody had the same thing, that as children, their parents didn't know what to do either. They were either afraid, or they said, oh, that's just your imagination, or you're being too emotional. And so I thought, you know what? I've got to do something. And so what I did is I went ahead, and everything that I learned as an intuitive, I went ahead and put it all together for tools for parents so that other light workers can come in and say, you know what? I can help you. And it has been such a wonderful ride. And Spirit just, you know exactly what's going on. And I'm just so glad that I said yes to this adventure of helping parents and children. But as I was doing research, yes, it showed that a lot of kiddos, especially ours that are sensory, that's autism, when you're very sensory overload. And just teaching them strategies where they're not alone, and they can deal with all these emotions. So it's just so exciting to learn all of this.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You jumped into what autism is. And that's one of the things I did want to go into it, because as I said at the beginning, I know it's a spectrum. I know it's a scale. It's a sliding scale. I want to get a better understanding of, because it is, and you mentioned ADHD, it is often mixed up with that. You know, like, you see a child that may be misbehaving, you say, oh, they've got ADHD, or, you know, you label them. And I don't like labeling children, but in the same token, if we don't have an understanding of what's going on, and if we don't, you know, for the want of the word, label it, then it's really hard to help a child. But could you just run through that a little bit more about what autism actually is? Because you have got the creds behind you to do that, whereas I know I don't. I certainly don't.
Right. And it's really changed. Okay. So it actually started in the 50s. And a lot of people don't realize that this has been around. I mean, a lot of people weren't really educated about the autism spectrum until the 90s. And that's about the period of time I was in education and started learning about it and going to school and getting my degree in it. And it's changed even since then, because Asperger's was actually a part of autism. So that was the DSM-3, and that was the DSM-4. And when I say the DSM, that's where we find all of, like you said, labels that psychologists look at. They go through and say, okay, the child meets a certain criteria. And now, if through the DSM-5, they've taken out Asperger's. And now you have a big umbrella of, like you said, different degrees of autism. It could be somebody who is nonverbal to somebody who is almost like a genius and, you know, can talk about anything scientifically or whatever. But what you look at, and what really the number one thing is social skills. They really do not, children under the spectrum, they do not understand social skills. And that's where the anxiety comes in. And that's why sometimes they really shut down, or they won't have anything to do with you because they don't understand the social world. So they have to be taught. Then there's communication, which a lot of times goes exactly with social skills. Okay. So children, when they're really young, under the spectrum, won't know how to ask for something. So they'll do it through different type of behaviors. Okay. And that's the only way that they know how to communicate. So they have to be taught, where a child who is not under the spectrum will be able to look at mom or dad and be able to repeat everything that they're doing. Okay. So they can pick up things, they know those behaviors, but a child under the spectrum doesn't. Then we have the sensory. Okay. And the sensory can be any, I mean, a lot of kids can like hear the air conditioning running and it is so loud and they just don't know how to explain it. Or they can feel their clothes being like, you know, scratching them. So there's so many different sensory things. And like we were saying with the labels, it is, I agree, a lot of times we don't want to label our children, but children under the autism spectrum, earlier intervention, the better. And that's where I learned how to work with parents too, because a lot of parents have to learn how to work with their child in the home. They can, you know, do 30 hours of what we call ABA, applied behavior analysis. That's where you break down the steps of everything a child needs to learn, how to communicate, social skills, and also dealing with their sensory needs. But a parent really needs to know what to do to really help this behavior of a child. So again, it's such an overwhelming process. And these parents have done a fantastic job educating others, and also, you know, educating parents on what to do and having groups and being advocates for the children. I've seen the school system change so much to meet the needs, because it does seem like it's a growing population. I don't know if it's that or if it's we're better educated in finding the needs. So I don't know what it is on both areas.
I absolutely agree, because we don't know, do we? And I've watched my daughter. So my grandson has under the spectrum. And I've watched how she has worked with him and how she handles it, and how much she is growing because of trying different things and getting a better understanding of it and trying this and trying that. And I can remember when I first looked at him and I sort of went, I just didn't get it. Like, you're trying to talk to him and this kid's going off the trolley, you know?
Right, right.
I also had to respect how the learnings that she had got from living with him. So when I went to Melbourne and I stayed with them for a couple of weeks while she was having an op, it opened my eyes up to see that. This sounds a bit strange, but okay, as a grandmother, I looked at her and I felt like saying, he just take that off him and stop doing that. And using my old fashioned training, believing that was the best way to go. And it wasn't until I was there and watching what was going on and how she could work him and how she could change things up to achieve the right result. I was a little bit gobsmacked, I have to be honest. It was like, oh my goodness, it's a whole different level of parenting. And I take my hat off to her and any other parent that is going through that, because it is so hard. It is such a huge change from how you were raised and how you were parented. You can't use the same techniques. You have to learn completely new techniques.
Right. Right. And as a behavior analyst, what we do is whenever you're looking at different behaviors and to teach parents how to teach your child, there's, you know, it's almost like you're breaking down the steps, you know, step one, step two, step three, and so forth. We break these chains. If the program skips one and all of a sudden goes to three, the child's going to get confused and learn it the wrong way. So that's why it is so specific. And you are exactly right. But the number one thing is imitation. And imitation is so important. And sometimes what is really good, and that's why I love the drama and the video modeling aspect of it, is a child can watch something on TV that teaches a skill. And you've got, you know, they first watch it and then you go, okay, let's practice the skill. And for a child under spectrum to learn a skill, it takes like 100, what we say, trials. More than 100 trials, and you know, to get it 100%. And it's just, you're kind of rewiring the brain. That's why we have to start so early, you know, in life. And they're getting so good. When a baby is born, sometimes they can actually diagnose it like 3 months after a baby is born due to the eye contact. And so it's just fascinating how we're getting better and better at helping these children. And you're right. These parents are worn out. I mean, they have to take care of themselves. And that's why it's really helpful to get a BCBA, which is a board certified. Oh, my gosh, a board. I'm so used to saying BCBA, you know, okay, board certified behavior analysis. There we go.
Yeah.
or somebody, you know, because, and there are some companies that will actually give you some services, you know, under a grant, because it can be so expensive, and insurances, you know, and really, you know, you can go to the doctor and they can diagnose that way. But to get insurance to pay for, and I know this is different, maybe for different countries. So I'm talking about, yeah. I only know US.
Yeah.
So the insurance companies in the US, you have to have an evaluation either done by a medical doctor or a board, you know, a psychologist or psychiatrist. And then, you know, then a board certified behavior analysis will take over and create a program for your child. But it can be very expensive. And a lot of parents have to take off work and they have to wait until their career, until they get their child going, you know, so it can be very difficult. But yes, in the long run, you can see such a change, you know, and that's what these parents need to see.
Yeah. Yeah. So here in Australia, my daughter is in the throes of actually having him assessed and, right. just to get into, you know, you say early intervention, just to get in to see mm-hmm. someone mm-hmm. for this, it like six to eight yep. months or something. It's just ridiculous. And we can see it growing and we can see it mm-hmm. changing. You know, in Queensland here, we're having a lot of trouble with with youth crime. And, you know, I sort of start to think, well, hang on, we need to put some more things in place to be able to help them. And it is, it's not about necessarily going on medication. It's right. about teaching the parents, and it's not the parents' fault. This is where I want to make really, really clear. At first I have to put my hand up. I thought, well, maybe, you know, like she's gone through a relationship breakdown, so there's going to be issues and rah, rah. But I've looked at it and I've gone, you know what? No, she has to learn a whole new way of right. raising children. And I can't teach her that. I have no idea. My right. mother can't teach me that. Her mother, it's right. so completely different. But anyway, that's enough about that, or about me.
Well, can I bring up one other thing too? Because I think this is so important. When you talk about that, parents blame themselves. You know, and it's so interesting. Going back to the 50s, they called the parents of children under the autism spectrum refrigerator parents. They said, you know, there's something wrong with their parent that, you know, they're, when they talk, they're like this and they're really not showing expression. So the child can't, you know, learn either. So I agree with you. And I love that you said that it is not your fault if you're a parent with a child with autism.
Yeah, good one. That's yeah. I totally agree. I really, my heart goes out. And I guess the other aspect is that because it is so close to home for me, I can now see it, whereas I didn't see it before. And so I get these people that look on the outside and say, oh, well, you know, that this got behavioral problems and you know the parents should be fixing that. And I sort of go, no, hang on, it's you have no idea. That it's not like that. It is certainly not like that. So I take my hat off to all those lovely, lovely women that are out there, or fathers as well, looking after children on the spectrum, because it's huge. And my grandson isn't physically disabled. So if you went even that far along, it'd be even more challenging. But enough of that, because I want to get to look at the positive. So we understand what autism is. We understand that it's a big spectrum. So it may not be a one size fits all. We get that. However, there is ways we can look at it, and there's ways we can do things about it. And this is what I want to talk about with you, because you are the expert. But I like this idea. I'm trying to read my sign here. The power of drama and things like that. So let's start talking about that.
Oh,
You take
absolutely.
me away, because I have no idea.
Okay, so and yeah, so whenever I was going through the autism intervention program to learn about the different interventions, again, I saw video modeling. My own kids went through drama, and I started doing research. So then I told my husband, I came home, and I had a a light bulb come on, and I said, I want to teach social skills through drama, through different aspects of drama and under the autism spectrum. And so what we did is we created a nonprofit program, and it was called IASIS Learning Center, which means Imagination and Social Instruction Station. So the kids thought, hey, I'm going to drama. I am not going to social skills. And we even had the little mask on the door, so they thought it was drama. But what the program consisted of is teaching instruction. So you give those steps, and I taught children who were verbal. So this is what is more for children that are verbal, that are a little bit higher functioning, and really can not real, I don't want to say speak fully, but it's not really for now. Children with that are nonverbal, you're still trying to teach them ways to express themselves. So the higher functioning children that I worked with, I would teach them, like if we were talking about how to start a conversation, we would start with number one, how do you start a conversation with somebody? And first, autism kids don't understand that you just don't go up to somebody and start talking. You got to have the timing, and I've got to look at the body language of the other person and so forth. Then what we do is we use the technology. Okay. So we also, I would love to play short movies or a video, a segment from a series that showed what is the right way how to do a conversation. Then the children would act it out. They would role play in front of a green screen. Okay. And then they would have their own video clip of how they were practicing. And with the green screen, they could go anywhere, and they absolutely loved it. But you can extend it even more. So, to teach emotion and how other people feel. So, we would always start with, okay, first, what does a happy face look like? So, what they would actually see themselves in front of the camera, and we would practice what happy feels like, what sad feels like, and et cetera. And they would practice that. Working on conversational skills, they would pretend like, I'm a firefighter. You can interview me. What questions would you ask? And then they get to really feel about, well, how does this person feel in a different, so in a different, a different situation? So I would show them a lot of times, I would show them a clip of a little girl getting hit by somebody else or being bullied. And I go, okay, how do you think this child feels? And it's so interesting what they would come up with. So we would talk about, okay, now we can, since we know what sad feels like, that is what sad and feeling ashamed feels like, and not knowing what to do. And so, you know, there's so many things that you can do with drama. And improv is what I absolutely loved, because the improv, whenever they're interviewing or they're role playing, they don't have a script in front of them. They're having to do the spontaneous language that they don't really understand. And they had so much fun, especially when they would get hats on, and then we would replay the feed, and they would just absolutely love that. But the younger ones, we would do a wait, like in a restaurant, and they would get their little pad out and they would start talking like, what do you want? And then we would do cooking shows. Cooking shows are not easy, okay, because you're having to explain to somebody how to do something. And they're having, you know, the equipment in front of them, they're having the sandwich, so they would have to explain how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And if they didn't really know the steps, I would stand beside them and kind of prompt them along the way. But there's so many things that you can do with drama that, you know, not only teaches children under the spectrum, but also children that are, you know, just needing to learn social skills, period. There are so many different aspects. I could go on all day and talk about this. I could go on forever, but hopefully I gave you kind of a puzzle piece of it.
No, that sounds really interesting. So if somebody was doing that at home, you could almost do like a TikTok type aspect, a social media type thing where the children can actually learn and do some stuff and put it up there. And
Absolutely. And we did. Okay. So whenever I did all this, okay, when I opened up the social skill program, it was actually in 2006. So green screen, a lot of people didn't have the technology to use it. So now there's so many things that you can use with technology, but it's still important to teach the skills. Okay. They can do a TikTok, they can have fun with with the video and everything, but you still have to teach them, you know, what are different social skills. And what I tell people is you can buy a social skill book, you know, that teachers have, and look at the table of contents, and it can break down all of the different skills that you can teach a child. And I mean, break those down so good. So that will kind of help lead the way. But yeah, but then they can role play and then put it on TikTok if they want to.
Oh, I was just about to talk and I'm not even in the screen. you've got a book out and it's called The Three Element Social Skills Program, Instruction, right. Drama and Technology by Michelle Henderson. Now, is that what you were referring to? So if somebody purchased that book, that would have all those social skills and how we could go forward using them?
Right. So, yeah. So I have broken down different social skills that you can actually teach. And in the book also, it has pictures because whenever a child would sign up for the program so that I knew where they were lacking in their social skills, I would actually do like an informal evaluation. So I would show them a picture of a different social situation and ask them, you know, tell me about what's happening in this picture. And you can take any family pictures or any picture that you see and say, what is going on here? And let them explain it to you. And if they leave out feelings, then talk about, well, how do you think they're feeling in this picture? What do you think they need to do to help themselves in this situation? So you really need to know where the child is, and then you can start asking them questions. But that's a good place to start as well. So if they don't know about feelings, that's where you start.
Okay, so that book is The Three Element Social Skill Program, Instruction, Drama, and Technology by Michelle Henderson. Right. Now, can they get that on Amazon?
They can. So it is on Amazon now. Yes.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Or can they get it through Michelle Henderson Medium.com, your website?
It is not on my website, only on Amazon.
That was a good plug for you then.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah, so it's on Amazon. And when they read it, they got to remember that it was actually on the DSM-IV. So that's when we actually had Asperger's. And now we've had DSM-5. So that part of the book, whenever I'm talking about the different criteria for autism spectrum, it's a little bit different now. So that's part of the book that if I could go back and change it, I would.
Yeah, but I mean, that's all part of it too. And I know that with my book, when I wrote it, you know, there's parts in there now that I'd sort of go, well, I've progressed further and moved further. But that's when you can still do that later on. But that's a book there. Right. At least it gives them an understanding of what to look at, you know, if I gave that to my daughter, she would know, she would already have that assessment. Oh no, he's not very good at that, or he doesn't handle, you know, there's times there when he gets really loud and sensory, that, you know, and there's other times when he just can't handle the noise at all.
Right.
So, you know, so she has a very good understanding of that side of it. So yes, it gives you something to go with.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's okay. Video modeling and I do need to bring that up, because especially children, if they are, you know, nonverbal, this also helps them. There's different video modeling softwares. And what that does is it shows, again, just different social skills with either a cartoon character or real people. They even have one for middle school, which is awesome. And what they do is they show the clip and then they ask the child questions after the clip. And it is a wonderful app now. And so I can't really tell you which ones are out there now, because it's always changing. And I would find one that really works for your child.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds really good. Yeah. Okay. So we've talked, I'm just going to make sure we're covering off on everything. What I did want to go into as well is you have got another book. Wait, there's more. and this is Spiritual Nurturing for Intuitive Children. Oh, that's what I was going to ask you. What is the relationship between autism and spirituality or intuitive children? Like, are children with autism more spiritual, less spiritual, same? Like, where do we sit there?
I absolutely love that question. Okay. So through my research and everything, and not only children under the spectrum, but also just special needs children, you know, that are here to actually teach us. Okay. I will say that for one, to teach us. They actually have almost more of a spirit team. They have angels are surrounding them at all times for protection. So I will tell you that. But yeah, so a lot of children under the autism spectrum, they can feel different energies, even though they may not understand feelings or tell you what is happy or sad. If mama is angry, they're going to feel your energy. They can feel it. Okay. And a lot of times that's when they have their meltdowns, is because they don't know what to do with all of this energy. It's almost like somebody who is an empath that is taking in all of it, all what people feel in their environment and so forth. And so a child under the spectrum, they don't know how to deal with it. And it's very difficult to teach them. Some nonverbal children can also telepathically hear what you're saying. You can communicate with them. Okay. And I always started with my energy. So if I worked with a child who was going, having a meltdown, is I would send my energy to them. I could see them suddenly start coming down a little bit. And then I would start talking to them. And it's almost like they would look at me at that point and I said, calm down, it's okay. You know, and I want, yeah. So I 100% can't tell you that they did, but it just, I could tell that their behavior was changing. And a lot of times whenever they're doing the stimming, you know, what we call, it's almost like a self-regulation. They're trying to calm themselves down. You know, it is kind of a neurological thing, but a lot of times they'll look up and they'll see something there. And a lot of times they would start laughing. And a lot of my children, I would say, okay, who are you laughing at? And I said, come back over here, tell them goodbye and come back over here. And they would, but it was like they were, you know, entertaining somebody was entertaining them. I also feel like they can see the different grids here on Earth, you know, the different colors, you know, and just see the vibrant colors that we cannot see. Now, the question you asked me is, do I feel like a lot of the children under the spectrum or any of the special needs are more spiritual? And you know what? I would say probably yes, because again, they're here to teach us some things. Now, in the 1960s, of course, we had Nancy Tape, who verified the indigo children because she could see the purple in their aura. Mm-hmm. And we're finding out, and then we have the indigo children, who a lot of them are under the autism spectrum. And I'm sorry, I said indigo again, didn't I? Okay. I'm going blank. What they're called? Hold on. Wait. Indigo. I know that, you know, this is why.
I know, and I know exactly what you mean, and I can't help you because I can't.
I know, I'm going, okay, so Nancy Tamp did the Indigo Children, and then Doreen Virtue came up with a different, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, there was another name for the children, and I can't, it wasn't the light workers, because that's more of, no, but there is another name.
And Rainbow Children came as well after that. Yeah. And, but yeah, so a lot of these children that are under the spectrum are here for a reason, and they're here to really enhance the energy. And some of these children are so bright and so rich with numbers, they're actually helping us with technology. So they are here for a reason, just like what we are. But I just feel like the spiritual world is not very far from them. Okay. And so that's why we really need to embrace where they are and accept them as they are. And I know that I actually came in contact with a parent who, she said, you know what? At one time, you know, the BCBA was telling me to do something, but you know what? I didn't feel like that was right for my child. I wanted to meet them where they were. And so she had that intuitiveness and where she could tune into her own child and work with them that way. And that way she saw a huge change. So it's different for everybody. But I think these children are definitely in tune to where, you know, with us and with Mother Earth and with spirit.
Beautiful. And just while we're on that too, because that is the name of your other book, Spiritual Nurturing for Intuitive Children. So it's about training parents to embrace and enhance their psychic child's ability. Okay. So again, by Michelle Henderson. So obviously, because that's who you are. Now, the other, because we're starting to get a bit low on time now.
Right.
I did, oh gosh, what was it? Oh, there was something else I was going to say, and I can't remember what it was now. What I got out of that just before when you were saying it, what did I get out of that? Oh, my goodness, my head's gone.
Okay. I know when we're kind of talking about different things and kind of different subjects, it's really hard to, yeah.
Yeah, Indigo Children threw me too, because I know that there was another one there, and I can almost hear the people listening yelling at me saying,
"Oh, I know." And you know what? I am actually going to look it up. I thought I had it in my book. It may not be in there because I didn't want to, you know, overwhelm anybody. but it did start with the Indigo Children, and then Doreen came out with another, and of course she talked about them having ADHD as well.
Yes.
And they were here to conquer the world.
I know what it was. What I really got out of that, what you said, which I noticed, and I do bring it back to myself because you know, it's part of my learning, and if I can help somebody else, that's great. What I found with my little grandson, he would get angry, or if he would get uncontrollable and start to do things like that, it made me do the same. I started to imitate him instead, because you know, you sort of, I don't know, like against like, you know, you're trying to fight back type thing. But what you turned around and said is that as soon as they start doing things like that, you do the opposite. You send calm, loving energy, because naturally, if you're bringing in more aggressive energy because you're trying to control them, they're taking that on and doing the same. And it just escalates and escalates.
It does. It really does. It really does. And they really, you know, and there are some children, though, that reach a threshold and it's really hard to bring them down. And that's where, yeah, you've got to take a deep breath as well, because again, you know, it's just energy on energy. You just got to take a step back and make sure that they don't hurt themselves, because when they reach a certain point, they really don't realize what they're doing, and they can kick, they can scream, they can hurt themselves. And so you really need to make sure that the safety of the child and know what to do if that does happen. And I did want to bring up something as well. Temple Graydon, okay, is a, if you don't know anything about her, you've got to look at her. There's a movie about her, actually. And she is this brilliant scientist who has developed something with cows. She could actually really connect in with cows, something about cows. And so she felt like that, because, you know, we have cows for meat, and how they are killed was really not great for them, that it would bring them trauma as they died. And she did not want that. And this is coming from, you know, somebody under the spectrum that really doesn't understand people. And so she developed a way for cows to go, and I want to say go into their death, such more peaceful way. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, she really taught us something about, you know, because we have to eat, you know, and so she really helped us learn how to kill the cows peacefully and in a more, you know, humane way. And yeah. So you just never know.
What was her name again, Michelle?
Temple Graydon.
Temple Graydon. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it is true. Like I've seen shows and they're movies and everything else, but right. It may be the Native Americans, and they have killed an animal for food, but they go to it and they bless it and they thank it. And
And that's how it should be.
Yeah. And it's so beautiful. It's like, you know, your passing has allowed someone else to keep going or to move on or to use their skin or their feathers or, you know, whatever it is. And it's such a beautiful connection, because you're connecting not just with the animal but with Mother Earth, and it's such a lovely way to do that. And yes, and as you say, these young children or even older ones, but that are coming through with some amazing skills, that where we try to control them, it's not about that. It's about us learning to see the different ways that it, you know, they can evolve and really bring back to society. Even if they're not, if they're awkward in society, it's still, you're still bringing, you know, a lot of stuff to it.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But Michelle, we are getting towards the end. I want to know, first of all, I'm going to actually say your website again, because it is Michelle Henderson, medium.com. So it's Henderson is H-E-N, oh gosh, I couldn't even spell, D-E-R-S-O-N, Henderson, medium.com. So jump on the website there. But before we go, before we say goodbye, is there anything else you want to bring forward for us?
Oh, no, not at all. I do want to tell, you know, the parents, and depending, you know, wherever they are, if they are showing signs of intuitiveness, of being an empath, you know, and even if your child has autism, find some help, you know, find somebody who really has the resources where you can go for help, because that makes up to me, information is powerful. And I know being a parent is difficult in itself, but if you reach out to other parents that are going through the exact same thing you are, you're going to feel so much more supportive and know what to do to help your child.
Ah, lovely. And again, if all you take home from here is don't mimic their behavior, just because that's what I'm taking home. Don't mimic his behavior. Send love, send light, and send all that to him to help him calm down or to help her calm down, rather than, you know, mimic the behavior and escalate it even further. And that's hard. That's not easy when they're throwing things around. I mean, I think my daughter went through about 10 TVs in a very short period of time. So yeah, so it's not easy. That's why I'm saying it. I think it's because it's easy to say, but it's really hard to do. But if we practice that, that's what we're doing, is sending out more love, light, and healing, you know, in a more positive way. So,
right.
Thank you so much for being on the show, Michelle.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, thank you for having me. I enjoyed this conversation.
Oh, I enjoyed it. Yeah. I've got a learning from it. And if I get a learning from it, then, you know, so be it. It's worthwhile me spending the hours I spend doing the podcast, because, you know, we need to have this information. It's really valuable. We need to look at it with open eyes and not be judgmental of parents trying to raise their children when they don't know how. You know, we all know that we didn't come with a book on how to raise children.
Oh, of course.
But you know what? You've created a book that's going to help people raise children, especially if they are intuitive, especially if they are under the spectrum. And I reckon that's gold.
Yeah. So I hope that does. I hope that helps.
Thank you so much for being on the show. I have to say goodbye. All the details will be down below for you anyway, so you can connect with Michelle or grab her book. But thank you, Michelle. Stay there. Don't go away. And I'll be back in a sec with you.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, guys, that I really enjoyed that. I get a learning. If somebody else has got a learning from that, then that's, you know, that's worth it. It's gold. Check Michelle's website out. If you do want to get a bit more of understanding of how to connect with your intuition, jump on my website, intuitivenature.com.au. I've got a little quiz happening there too, so you can understand how you receive your intuitive messages. Are you receiving them physically? Are you receiving them emotionally? Are you receiving them mentally or spiritually? There's four different ways we can receive our intuitive messages. So get an understanding of that. And I mean, you will get an understanding of how your child is receiving those messages. Is it too much for them? Is their sensory just going crazy? Is it too much? What I have noticed is a lot of children walking around with the earmuffs on, head muffs on. And I used to think, oh, you know, there's something wrong. But that's part of that sensory. If you're noticing in that, then there's more and more children coming through that are more intuitive, intuitive in a different way. There you go. But that's me. I've rattled on. Jump onto Michelle's website and have a look at that, or jump onto mine and we will go from there. I've got a great week coming up. I'm due to go on holiday soon, so I've got a lot of people lining up ready for while I'm away, so you make sure to get the podcast every week. Share, subscribe, like the podcast, and I will see you all next week. Okay, guys. Bye for now.